Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Everyday Bitcoin, a Bitcoin podcast featuring on Bitcoin's adoption and its use as money, the new everyday money standard. Today, we're recording December 8th, 2025, at current block height of 927,032 and a price of around 90,000 US dollars. Price has been up and down, kind of playing jump rope at 90,000. That doesn't really matter though. But what does matter is that today I am joined by Mr. Tomek. Welcome to the show, Tomek. I don't know how to pronounce your last name, so sorry.
Hey, Keith. Hey, listeners. Tomek K is enough, I guess.
Tomek K. Love it. And to be honest, to the listeners, Tomek and I, we just met. We were in. Tomek was suggested to me by a mutual friend to have on the podcast, and we just met like 5 minutes ago. So I honestly don't know too much about Tomek aside from what I've Googled.
Let's make out a good episode out of it then.
Yeah. So I guess can you tell us a little about yourself? Your Bitcoin journey. What brings you here today?
I came from Poland. I was born 30 something years ago. And well, since basically in my forming years, I chose liberty and independence as my guiding value. And it came out that most of my career, so to speak, even though I was educated as engineer and big data analyst, my career was around radical freedom and libertarian projects in Poland. So I was in the center of local libertarian movement, organizing conferences, publishing books, demonstrations, etc. I was also big into prediction markets. We tried to build one in Poland. Then I joined Polymarket for a while. Then we tried to build Bitcoin prediction market at some point. But yes, since a few years, my libertarian activism just took a narrow angle of Bitcoin. I just around maybe a bit before pandemic, I just got myself deeper into the rabbit hole. Of course, Bitcoin was on my radar for many years, but I kind of never really studied it seriously up until like 2019-20 and like a brewing maxi culture. So with some friends, we organized Bitcoin maxi community in Poland. We helped localize various Bitcoin apps, published some books in Polish, and then eventually we organized Bitcoin Film Fest. So we already had 3 or 4 editions in Warsaw. And yeah, since many years, I was participating in various Bitcoin projects. I was part of team of Albi. Basically, I still am. If you ever use it for your Lightning transactions in your browser or using Nostr there, probably this is what you had to be in touch with. Fantastic open source project. Recommend to get Albi to anyone. And now the world came, the universe came together at me being in Roatan. It's an island on Caribbean that belongs to Honduras, where there is a project of private city Prospera. I was also always fascinated by these private communities, by some separate societies, fascinated by and inspired by Ayn Rand and Atlas Shrugged and this idea. I don't know if you recall from that book, where entrepreneurs, you know, kind of disappeared and formed their own society in Colorado Mountains. This is what's happening here on Roatan. Founders of Prospera were also fascinated and inspired by Ayn Rand. And this Prospera is a special economic zone in Honduras, effectively being legal and internationally recognized jurisdiction on par to autonomous zones like Dubai or Hong Kong even. With very low regulation and taxes. It's a very small city, very exciting project. And within it, we are building a Bitcoin district. So if Prospera dreams about being Hong Kong of the future, we are already trying to build some stones onto having fully functional Bitcoin district within that futuristic city.
Oh, wow. Okay. So there's a lot going on, a lot of things we could explore.
A lot we can explore.
Yes. Yeah. So you said you did work for Albi and you still work for Albi?
Well, I'm part of the team. I don't have that much time now to help with marketing as I used for the last 2 years.
Okay.
But I'm still a very proud member of the team. However, I cannot do much work output currently there.
Not ah, nice. Oh, and actually, I realized on Discord that you and I actually communicated like a while ago. It was when I was first getting onto Noster, and Albi wasn't even launched yet. I saw that people had like in welcome or invitation codes, and I was trying to get one, and you hooked me up with a with the invite code.
Yeah, that was one of the tasks that we were doing. But Albi has launched. Albi will be 5 years old this at the end of this December. But yeah, for some point we at some point we had discount codes and invite codes for the Albi hub that we launched over a year ago.
And I guess for the could you explain a little bit about what like what Albi is? Because unless people are on Noster or like kind of into Lightning, I don't think people would really know what it is. Could you explain it a bit?
Albi started as a browser extension to Chrome, Firefox, Edge, where you could control and manage your Lightning node. At that time, like 4 years ago, LND nodes of Umbrella were the most popular among like pleb node runners. And it was just a tool to control your LND node, which quickly started adding more features and more types of nodes. Eventually, all Albi also started sharing their node and being custodial wallet for some time. Now we are not. We, for this last 4 years, grew into a whole ecosystem of products, with main ones being Albi Hub, which is open source Lightning node, probably the easiest and most functional Lightning node software for end users. Albi Go, which is a mobile app, mobile wallet, non-custodial that connects to your nodes with Nostr Wallet Connect or to your other wallets. It's the only such Nostr Wallet Connect multi-wallet on mobile, and still Albi extension, which is your basically Lightning wallet interface, not on a mobile phone, not as a separate app, but as an extension in your browser. And also you can use this extension, and this is one of the most popular its features, is the that it's a Nostr signer. So you can, instead of giving your Nostr keys to Prima or to some other app where you use your Nostr, you can give it to this open source. So open source meaning you trust that nobody knows your keys there. You can put it into Albi extension, and then Albi extension performs for you Nostr login, Nostr post, Nostr broadcast, and does this and signs Nostr nodes for you without revealing your keys to the internet. There is more of such Nostr signers now, but Albi being the I guess original one. Still, this is one of the most used features of Albi. And then also Albi maintains lots of open source libraries that are used by developers, like some JavaScript libraries, Nostr Wallet Connect, Bitcoin Connect.
Oh, wow.
And it's a really small team. And almost everything there is open source. The only way Albi makes money today is through, well, some fees on swaps from Lightning on-chain and credit card. And main business model is cloud hosting of the node, which is anyway open source. You can run it on your computer, but you can also pay Albi for to host it and maintain it for you in the cloud.
Albi's, I love Albi. I was I did start actually honestly I don't use the web browser extension anymore. I use well NOS2X are my key or my ANSEC. But I recently got a Start 9 and now I run Albi Hub on my Start 9 and pair it obviously with the Albi Go on my phone. And it's super cool. At least I guess if you like that if you're interested in the tech behind it all that like I can literally spend Bitcoin anywhere in the world routing it through my own node self-sovereign node that's running on my computer in my basement and I think it's really cool. I'm not sure if like the average person would think that's interesting or not, but it's amazing and I think what you said earlier that the hub is probably the most like the UX is really clean and the UI and for like somebody that doesn't really know much about Lightning because it is quite complicated. It can be confusing, I guess. Albi Hub makes it really simple and it's very well
And then this Nostr
explained.
Wallet Connect is kind of the invisible hero there that makes it so smooth, quick, and avoiding any problems with VPN or Tor, that it transmits those messages, those permissions to use your sats from node through Nostr, which that's why it's called Nostr Wallet Connect. And then you can like very easy not only spend and receive, but you can build apps on top of permissions to use sats from your node. So there is like growing on getalbi.com/discover, or also in your Albi hub, you have the app store where you can see there is like dozens of different apps that let you connect to your node and non-custodially use your sats from that node without like intermediaries, which is a very cool, elegant, simple invention of Albi.
Yeah, that's really awesome. And I should stick one sentence to say at once. So the hub, you said the team at Albi is very tiny.
It's like 10 people, maybe less.
Nine. That's awesome. Yeah, you guys are pushing, shipping a lot of good stuff. But do you have any idea? I mean, it's not really Bitcoin related, but my curiosity, why did you guys change the logo?
Yeah, I mean, there was this friendly bee, right?
Yeah, but the bee was cute.
By the way, do you know why bee, or do you know the story?
Okay, let's leave it. I don't know.
Okay. We had this friendly cartoonish bee. Then we introduced some other products along the way, which had a bit modern look, some of them a bit more sharp. And it felt like, hey, we need some consolidation of what Albi is, right? We are building extension and node and app and unifying graphic design across our ecosystem is, I think, a smart move. The earlier you do it, the better. That also helps us pursuing our mission to make Bitcoin everyday money. And that's also kind of similar to your podcast mission. Mm-hmm. And yeah, now it's just, you know, one family of like, it's the Albi Go and Albi Hub and Albi Extension have similar style, similar vibe. It also, we wanted to refresh it a bit, and maybe previous logo didn't position ourselves as a serious company. We had this feeling. You know, sometimes it's good to like change the furniture in your house. It just feels refreshing and you have more energy. And looks like similar thing just happened on our design side.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not, I don't think it's...
No special like restructuring, no takeover. How did you like the change of, honestly, of Albi?
I mean, I was surprised. I mean, it's sleek, the new logo. But like, I like the B. It was cute. I like Albi Go, the B. I think it's still the B with the in the spacesuit, kind of. Let me look right now. Yeah. It's still the bee in space. At least I think he's in space.
Maybe maybe use as app store and they didn't update the logo. I would check it.
Maybe not. I don't know. But I don't know. That's sleek, but I like it.
It's a typical story. Always there is like people cannot get used to, and at the beginning I was also like, oh no, new logo, I can't look at it. But then you get used to it, and then the old logo gets some OG status, right?
It
has a vintage vibe. I have still socks with the old Albi logo. Yeah, but anyway.
Nice. Okay. So then shifting away from Albi, when did you say you moved to Honduras? How long ago?
So I'm in Honduras since like I came here for the first time in March. I was always wanted to visit like Central America and Salvador, and I finally checked out Prospera. But I came this March. And that's when I got to meet people around here and founders of Prospera, and decided to make my move and start a business of building Bitcoin ecosystem.
Oh, okay. So very recent. Well, not very, but I mean, this year, I guess it's pretty recent. And then...
Very recent, yes. And the Prospera project is also quite recent. It's just 4 or 5 years that it's effectively in place.
Okay. And so the Prospera project is the Bitcoin district, or... Are they separate or?
No, so Prospera, right? Again, Prospera is a special economic zone in Honduras, which is called, this special economic zone is called ZEDE, and it's basically new municipality created by Honduran government and put into its constitution, and in general defended by lots of international treaties just to make sure that international investment can come here and build such city, right? That there will be no government who will easily destroy it. There were some attempts already, but it didn't happen. So nice. Around 2013, these ZEDEs were effectively in law in place. And then it was a process of obtaining licenses by a private company called Prospera that got this one municipality over here in Roatan. And the aim is to have regulatory free low tax zone that would attract startups, international investment, and this project is in place for 4 or 5 years. It's the most advanced of various projects of like network states or free cities that try to get new jurisdiction or find a most well legal and efficient way to bring freedom to your country. Instead of like convincing maybe United States government to become more libertarian, you can create something libertarian into existing state. And this is the idea behind this charter cities, free cities. Prospera is the most advanced of such. And Bitcoin District is a, we like to think of it like a, it's a layer two on Prospera. Like,
okay.
Bitcoiners get this analogy, right?
Yeah.
Because here, right, we are in Roatan that belongs to Honduras. And it's like layer zero, right? This country is here. It protects the borders. It has some international treaties, layer zero. It also has a criminal law which applies to Prospera, but Prospera is layer one, where criminal law of Honduras applies, but the civil law belongs basically to belongs to the municipality, and they applied common law to be in place. So Prospera is layer one that collects taxes, that registers its residents, that registers properties, that manages conflict resolution. They just want to be a platform of governance for this special economic zone in Honduras. And then there are layer twos. Prospera also doesn't want to and shouldn't provide goods and services as a proper minimal government, should not take care of these things. It should be outsourced to private entities. And I guess Bitcoin District is one of such entities where we try to market Prospera, bring more residents here, bring more businesses, and basically help them grow. And Bitcoin District is doing this towards the Bitcoin industry. And Prospera is, in my opinion, Prospera is really, just looking objectively, okay, now I'm inside of it, but that's why I decided to move. This is the most Bitcoin-friendly jurisdiction on the planet. Salvador was kind of one, but today you cannot... Bitcoin is not a unit of account in Salvador, right? They retreated from the Bitcoin lei. You can, I think, still pay taxes in Bitcoin, but you need to convert them from dollars. Dollars needs to be your unit of account. While in Prospera, since 2022, you can, well, not only pay taxes and all of the government fees in Bitcoin, but you can also run your books on Bitcoin. And it's the only place in the world where you can legally do it, where you can designate that your unit of account, of your profits, of your costs, then your whole balance sheet is in Bitcoin, and based on that, you pay taxes. Not based on dollars, and then you convert, you pay in Bitcoin, but you basically run your books on Bitcoin. And it's, there is already over 15 companies, Bitcoin companies, that use this law and pay their taxes in Bitcoin, and it's just the beginning.
Eventually,
entrepreneurs who want to do it, they will figure, oh, why I don't do it there, where it's like so easy, you can register your business in a few minutes, and you don't need to even come here to run your business in Prospera. It's really one of the easiest jurisdiction to do so. And not only that, right? There is like this legal, but majority of businesses here in Prospera, okay, this is small, 200 people, let's say. But majority of businesses accept Bitcoin. Around 10, 15 maybe percent of economy here runs on Bitcoin. If you can like take, we are doing surveys of like, you know, how, what is the merchant's rate of adoption? How many people pay for a hotel here in Bitcoin? How many people pay for taxes? More or less 10-15% of whole like economy of this jurisdiction is in Bitcoin. It's not the case in Salvador also. There is some kind of Bitcoin. There is a Bitcoin community. There is a merchant network. It's a, it's not yet a circular economy, but it's, it has enough elements. It's a proto-circular economy, not just Prospera, but whole Roatan. And most of all, the government of like the management of Prospera city is the, it's almost, they are almost Marxist. They're Bitcoiners who just are, they're on their way being orange pilled. And that's why also they wanted to have such Bitcoin partner as myself to help them grow towards Bitcoin industry and help them Bitcoinize even more.
Okay. Oh, that's really interesting. I had no idea that, well, that it was all happening down there. I feel like it's not really, I don't know, known, I guess, covered too much. Any idea why like El Salvador gets, I mean, I understand why El Salvador gets all the attention, but any idea why Prospera and what's going on down there is not necessarily not even in Bitcoin circles, I feel like you don't hear about it too much. Any idea why the case?
We are slowly bridging that, but that's also stems out of kind of the attitude that we don't want to oversell things. And we don't want to market things that are not in place. And this is not yet an end product. right? It's Prospera and Bitcoin District are in really early formation years. We are trying to attract the builders and scaling partners, people who could come and help us build infrastructure, who would come and maybe move down here to prepare some services for future residents. Now, yes, you can come and visit here. And like, as I said, there is like around 200 people living here, but there is still, for many of us, there is not enough, maybe social life, maybe not enough services like, you know, easy grocery delivery. It just, it's so early that you can, people often come and complain, oh, you know, there is no, it's hard to move around on the island if you don't have a car. Oh, you know what? There is no grocery in Prospera. I need to walk somewhere. But there is another group of people that come and observe same things, and they're like, oh, maybe I should open a car rental service, or oh, maybe I should open a grocery. And this cohort of people are people who tend to stay here, invest, build their businesses, and slowly, year by year, Prospera accrues. I mean, you know, there is just more and more of such builders, and eventually, because it's a chicken egg problem, right? It's hard to build a city and like build a grocery, build a supermarket if there is no residents. It's hard to attract residents if there is no supermarket.
Yeah.
And like everything needs to go in parallel. So it's hard to, you know, tell to whole Bitcoin world, hey guys, everybody comes here. All right. Mm-hmm. It's everybody is using Bitcoin. It's a paradise. Yes, but in making, right? And we don't want to disappoint anyone, but slowly we're organizing those retreats. Like every few months, you can come for a bit chill retreat. There is more and more various conferences on Prospera calendar happening. And I feel like these events, retreats, and conferences, slow events that are happening here are really one of the best ways to get people to know what Prospera is. Also not overwhelm it, right? Because we are not, like, there is not enough capacity to bring 1,000 people at once. There is enough to bring 150, right?
Okay.
It will take time. This is natural.
Yeah.
Similar with Bitcoin, right? Whoa, if Bitcoin is so good, it's such a great money. It's a perfect money. Why humans on this planet are not using it? Why they don't know about it much?
It's true. Yeah, if all 8 billion of us right now, well, I think the Lightning Network, well, probably, I don't know. I don't know if they'll be able to handle 8 billion right now, like tomorrow. But yeah, you know, what you say makes a lot of sense, especially it's kind of like
I don't think we would be able. It's just we as humanity are not able. It is just like a whole education, design, culture. There is like also in Bitcoin, there is like so many things that need to go in parallel, right?
Uh-huh.
What if like we educate today everyone, like, right? What if we just focus on one thing and like we educate everyone what is Bitcoin and how to use it? But then there is not enough, like, as you say, like, probably the Lightning Network, just by its capacity, wouldn't be not able to handle it. In most of countries, you just don't know how to recognize running node for someone, right? Or even what Bitcoin is. Just legal stuff needs to catch up. Infrastructure needs to catch up. Same with, like, if you focus just on infrastructure and make the best wallets possible and then, like, build new layer two that would make, you know, perfect layer two and scaling solution to Bitcoin. What if people are just not culturally ready to, like, hold their own keys, because they are not, right? So same with Bitcoin, like, it takes time because all of these elements need to go in parallel.
That's true. I never thought too much about that, but it makes a lot of sense. And I guess, like, even though as Bitcoiners, hardcore Bitcoiners, you want it to happen like right now, but in reality it's not really possible to happen right now. But I mean, slowly but surely, every day, you know, adoption slowly growing, education. I think it's truly education, just a matter of education. And everything else follows it.
We need podcasts. You know, you bro are doing a job in this regard. Like, we need more film
festivals. Yeah, more podcasts.
Right?
More podcasts. More
jurisdictions. And I'm just fascinated, and it stand every time I think of it how fast actually it goes. Look, 16 years ago, it was just a white paper, a PDF. Then it was a first Heartbeat Genesis blog. Then 2 weeks later, another computer started as a qubits idea. One computer, two computers. Today, we have fucking like the biggest, 8 biggest asset in the world. And like the phenomena that stems out to podcasters, to jurisdictions, to film festivals. It's just totally different branches that support each other. And they cannot also happen tomorrow.
Exactly. It is kind of amazing when you think about it. Obviously, us hardcore Bitcoiners, we kind of think about it a lot. But if you just take a really big step back and look at the massive picture of what Bitcoin is and how it just became a completely, it's grown from just an idea to what it's become completely organically, with no marketing and, you know, obviously people liking the idea, thinking it's a good idea and what it's evolved into. It's really incredible. But just touch real quick on what you said. So you said 15% of the businesses on the in Prospera use Bitcoin?
No,
Or
I said the majority of businesses use Bitcoin. I think almost you can pay for everything here in Bitcoin. I'm
okay.
just not 100% sure, but I said that 15% of economy, more or less, transactions within Prospera is on it.
Oh, okay. Cool. Very cool. And but you said there are also businesses, non-Bitcoin businesses that are slowly but surely
Yeah,
being learning about Bitcoin.
in Prospera locally, there is maybe 30 businesses, right? So there is rental, there is a beach club, there is golf course, there is some freelancers doing some services, restaurants, etc. From them, majority accept Bitcoin. Then in Prospera, you can register your company and run it remotely. You don't need to be here physically. There is over 400 businesses now. And it's if you check on Prospera website, the growth is slowly becoming exponential because every year there is more new companies joining. For them, you know, they have freedom to use their currency and the taxes they want to pay. I don't have data on how many of them because this is just any business that could, you know, from Germany register in Prospera and operate their run, you know, digital freelancing services.
Okay, very interesting.
Blink is registered in Prospera, Jam3.
Oh.
Bitvocation, Bitcoin Film Fest recently, Bolts and Debify opened their entities here. It's not like a full, you know, you're not moving full business, but it's usually for bigger entrepreneurs, is bigger businesses. It's one of the first steps on moving that you register some entity, you move some operations, and there is, as I said, I think there is around 15 in amount companies that Bitcoin companies that are here.
Okay, I didn't realize Blink was there because I thought Blink was El Salvador. Well, I mean, Earth it is
Yeah,
El
they are in
Salvador.
both now, but they have a strong leg now here. They
Right.
actually Blink was so the same forces were behind Blink and behind the law that allowed for Bitcoin taxes here.
Okay, I'd love to be able to use Blink. Unfortunately, in the U.S., it's not available. And even I mean, I had the app, sideloaded to Android, but you require a phone number. And it
Yeah,
knows
or
I have a
email.
US, yeah, it knows I have a
And you
US
have
number to hold on
Alibaba,
me.
right? Why do you need
Exactly.
email?
Well, more so for merchants, than the orange
Yes.
pilling of
Great
merchants.
tool. No, for I wait for them to add on-chain or Nost Wallet Connect or both soon. Then it would make perfect wallet. I really don't know what is the first wallet that you recently like recommend to beginners?
If they're a business, now that it's back in self custodial, I'll recommend Wallet of Satoshi. Just because I think it's the easiest to immediately get started. There's no KYC, and now that it's obviously self custody only in the US, I think it's awesome. But to like people, like friends and family, I honestly just recommend Strike to get started.
Okay, it's American answer. I get it.
Yeah, well, I think Strike's just amazing. I mean, that's pretty much all I use now. Like. They're like my bank essentially. Like I don't have any dollars,
But
so it's
is
all.
there on-chain support? They also didn't implement Nostr Wallet Connect yet, even though with Albi we tried to convince them since some time.
Strike? Yeah, I wonder why they don't do Nostr Wallet Connect. I know the Primal Wallet
They are
uses
very
Strike.
conservative with the new features they implement, if you take a look at it.
I'm sure they would at some point. They're always constantly shipping. But I love Strike. But yeah, so Wallet of Satoshi and Strike. And even because like I'm involved with BTC Isla. I don't know if you know it. It's
Yes,
community.
now we could. It's now
Yeah.
wellness retreat is going on now.
Ah, yes. And they are on the island. So almost just about 30 merchants. We recommend Wallet Satoshi. I've written a guide for it and everything. But I'd love to switch to Blink because it's I think that's Bolt 12 Blink. So you have the obviously the QR code and you can have multiple device support. So like your employees could have their own just receiving wallet, and obviously the owner would have the send and receive. But I can't use the wallet, so I can't make any guides for it or actually understand how it works, and I recommend it to people. But yeah, that's pretty much what I do here in the US. What do you recommend? You recommend Albi to everybody, or?
No, to beginners, hard to recommend.
Yeah.
Node software. Hey, you don't know what is Bitcoin? Here, run your Lightning node.
Yeah. So what do you guys recommend? What's like the, what do you think the most used wallet is in Prospera or Blink. The Bitcoin district?
Blink. Okay. Yeah, because Blink is here. They have, you know, their influence and lobby agents. And it's easy for merchants, especially since like daily transactions are done in Lightning. They are custodial Lightning. They have also POS terminal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not fan of Wallet of Satoshi. For on-chain, I used to love Blue for both, but Blue Wallet stabbed their node, and now you need to connect to with an LND to your own node. So it's still possible, but it's not easy for beginners to use Lightning. But for on-chain, for me, this is the most clear and understandable wallet.
Okay. I definitely heard of it, but I never used it. I also dabbled.
I miss some integrated experience where people could like have their, I guess, especially for beginners, right? They need custodial Lightning. Okay, mm-hmm. You can tell them Moon or maybe Aqua, but there are these swaps in behind where usually like the narration that, hey, Lightning is fast and cheap falls quickly because the transactions often can be strange or high there, and beginner doesn't understand why they are so. I miss some wallet with a nice on-chain and custodial Lightning, please, somebody.
I didn't realize Moon was using Liquid on the back end.
Aqua was using.
Okay. Phoenix. Use
some submarine swap. Phoenix. But Phoenix is also a similar case, right? I don't know if Phoenix has on-chain support. You have keys, but I don't know if it has on-chain interface. And then also you need to pay fees for first channels that you just don't
understand. Yeah. Which is why I don't recommend Phoenix to beginners. It's like right off the bat, they pay a fee.
There is no LNURL support also, I believe, right? You don't have Lightning address with Phoenix. You need to have your phone on to receive still, or it's not the case?
No, you have an address.
You got Lightning address with Phoenix? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'll confirm right now. I'm just opening it up. But, well, maybe not. But there is Bolt 12, which is cool. Swear. Yeah. There is an address. At Phoenix Vault.
So here in Roatan, we are also kind of trying to figure the way how to. You will have experience, BTC Islam might have experience. We need to exchange some knowledge more often how to make this island more of a Bitcoin island. It's good. We have a good start, Bitcoin Center and Prospera and all of this crowd, which is like technologically oriented. But people on the island. You know, we can onboard merchants, but then they say that not many people use it, right? How to solve this problem? Should we like spray some Bitcoin on people and make them use it? Should we like try to pay bonuses and encourage? How to make Bitcoin circulate in such place? It kind of could seem that, hey, island is either easier place to do it, but I'm not sure. And we are still looking for ways. So if you or anyone from, this is like the problem that we are trying to solve here. Mm-hmm. And if you or any of your listeners would like to help us, check out the bitcoindistrict.com/bitcoinworkaway. Come over anytime. We're happy to host you and help us build a Bitcoin circular economy.
Yeah, I'd love to come visit. I was just looking at the BitChill in January, mm-hmm. January 18th. I may or may not be able to come for that.
Awesome, that would be great.
It'd be super cool. So I really want to go to Honduras. That's one of two countries in Central America that I have not been to yet, that and Nicaragua.
Oh, okay.
And I want to do the scuba certification in Honduras and Roatan.
Yeah, we have a Bitcoin scuba shop, actually. Like 1 kilometer away. There's a huge Bitcoin on the beach, so it's easy to find it from outside.
Awesome.
Now, but another reason. Yes, Roatan is big on diving. If any divers listen to it, another reason for you.
For sure. One of the things, just to quickly, a quick little thing we're doing at BTC Isler, or we just did the BTC Fit Games, the Bitcoin Sports Network. That was at the beginning of October. And essentially there was like different teams competing for like doing fitness stuff, education, and Bitcoin. And essentially each team had a merchant sponsor, essentially, where while they were competing for the merchant, and in the end, like all the sats they won went to the merchants and stuff. So it was a big collective to really help support the merchants.
Local merchants, right? But he was sponsored, he was like a beneficiary of the naming.
Yeah, there was four teams, and each team was just obviously composed of Bitcoiners, you know, competing, doing like trivia or fitness things, and, you know, winning sats along the way. Then they were each competing for a merchant. And then like the winner, all the sats went out to every merchant, but the winning team also got like a bonus. So it was a good way just to get the merchants more incorporated with the people. And so that's something that's been going on there. And also ESA, the classes, the Bitcoin classes was giving away sats as well, so the students, and like maybe like one class they would get like 10-15,000 sats each or whatever, and then like kind of field trip, go downtown and like, you know, support the merchants and get like hands-on experience with using Bitcoin, you know, some actual practice rather than just theory of learning in a classroom. So just a way to facilitate the flowing of the sats and, you know, just getting people real experience with it, because obviously you could learn so much in the classroom and just reading about it, but once you actually start using it and you feel the power at your fingertips of using Lightning, it's really cool. That's what we've been doing, and I know we'll wrap up very shortly, but one more question. So you guys, is there any affiliation with Amity Age? That community?
Yes, they are our. This actually, I didn't mention. This is probably the biggest Bitcoin company, maybe not the biggest, but the most prominent in Prospera, because they are the earliest Bitcoin company in Prospera. Amity Age is a mining company that has strong educational leg as well, mining and education company. And one of their educational efforts is that they build basically and sustain a Bitcoin center here on Roatan. So they are part of our Bitcoin District initiative to consolidate Bitcoin ecosystem and build circular economy here and Bitcoinize Prospera more. And they run this hub as part of their, it's basically a nice cost that they run, right? They give away, they give back to the community in this form, because they make money on mining and they spend on education. And here on Prospera in Roatan, they did marvelous job by building Bitcoin Center and by onboarding over 50 merchants now to our network.
Wow, that's awesome. But do they also have, I guess, I thought like on the west coast of Roatan, there like a Bitcoin Honduras or their own Bitcoin Roatan, or am I mistaken?
Where did you see it, on some map? Or?
Yeah, I swore that it was like, but there was you guys, Prospera, the district, and then like on the western end of the island, there was like another little economy or community that was Bitcoin Roatan or something. I don't know. That's where Amity Age was. I don't know. I guess I misunderstood the whole thing. Yeah. Anyway, if I can, I'd like to conclude with a non-Bitcoin question. But what is something that makes you lose track of time that is not Bitcoin? Like a hobby or passion or an interest?
I'm thinking like it's music, but I listen to it in the background. It's podcast, but I'm not losing time on it, right? And I think I'm losing time. I think of something that I don't want to be doing, but I'm doing, because otherwise I wouldn't call it losing.
Spending, what did I say? I meant to say lose track of time, like something that immerses you so much.
Lose track. That's true. Okay, that's true.
But like they just get lost in, like, in a good way.
Oh, and I don't want to say doom scrolling, but I like explore prediction markets, poly market. What's happening there? Is there any alpha? Any news that I could use by buying the shares of yes or no? So this is something that, like, when I, you know, each of us has these moments, like, okay, I feel like not doing nothing. What website am I opening? And for me, those are prediction markets.
It could be a lot worse. Maybe that'd be something maybe for another episode.
No, those worse answers I just didn't tell you.
Oh. Hey, well, no judgment. Great. Well, thanks so much, Tomek, for coming on and chatting and sharing the knowledge. Is there anywhere you'd like to send people? I think I'll learn more about you. We'll learn more about what's going on in the district in Prospera.
Well, I guess the best would be the bitcoindistrict.com. Yes, Bitcoin Prospera on Twitter and on Nostr, but thebitcoindistrict.com. And over there, you can leave us your email, and for sure, I will get in touch and get you updated what's happening in the project. And over there on the website, you can also find those options for Workaway or those retreats like BitChill that we organize here. And this is a really Prospera is exciting project. That's why I participate in it. I don't want to say that Bitcoin is an exciting project, but I hope so. It would be for you. And it's a really good place for anyone who is looking to incorporate their startup or look for their Caribbean citadel, optimize their taxes, find their another residency or tax residency. There is multiple ways that you can do, multiple things that you can do here in Prospera. Check them out on our website. And yeah, happy to get any of listeners on call or email or just interested.
Nice. Awesome. I'll leave all those good links in the description. And yeah, hopefully I'll be coming to the island soon. I would think most definitely in the next year. I got to make it down
January
there.
18th.
If I can, I will be there. I just got to see if there'll be any work or not. Because I freelance, so it's like nothing going on. I'll probably come down. But if not, then obviously I won't. But sooner or later, I'll be making it to the island for sure. Well, thanks so much, Tomek. And thanks all to the listeners for tuning in. And we'll catch you on the next
episode. Take care, everyone. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao. Bye-bye.